towards some people because they belong to and also a civil party that the teachers didn't even belong to the civil party so there was no persecution on account of a cultural ground at any time for the petitioner because any report that the petitioner wrote, the basis for the report was suspicion of terrorism. And if the police somewhere down the line followed up on the petitioner's reports and arrested someone, that arrest would have been because it would have been as part of a criminal investigation or an investigation of suspected terrorism activities. So there can't be an access to a protected ground because every report was based on a legitimate criminal investigation that the petitioner was charged with. The third issue, I think we'll only get to the third issue if the court finds that the petitioner actually was tied to standard persecution and evidence of persecution was hard because of those things with the opinion. It is just hard to get that either of those findings can be made. But the third issue is what's the burden of proof and who has the burden of proof in a case like this? In order for someone to be barred from asylum under the persecutor bar, they have to have been found to have assisted in or participated in the persecution of their state's immigration and community access. It's very straightforward. And if someone has participated or assisted in the persecution of others and become a protected ground, then they are not eligible for asylum. Regulations say basically the same thing. Regulation that's in effect today, the law changed in 1997 until today, it says for asylum application filed on or after April 1st, 1997, and that those who do not qualify for asylum in Section 208B2 of the Immigration Nationality Act upon disability. So it's saying the same thing in itself, which is if someone participated in persecution on behalf of a certain ground, so the question is, if someone is found to have participated in persecution, then at what point does the burden shift to the person to conform to the evidence that they did not participate in persecution? And what the BIA found, what we see in the BIA's statement was that the BIA specifically applied the law that was in effect before 1997, and since the case arose after 1997, so BIA not doing anything to inform the law. But I think that the respondent seems to probably argue that the meaning of this distinction, because obviously the same today as it was prior to 1997, that's what the respondent argues in February. But I would say that the law was changed in 1997. Prior to 1997, the law said that if the evidence indicates that someone participated in persecution, then the applicant shall have a burden of proving by preponderance of evidence that he or she did not submit. So prior to 1997, the law was very specific and said if there's evidence that indicates that they participated in persecution, then they have to prove that they did not participate in persecution. 1997 forward, the law says if Section 208 of the Act applies, then they're eligible for asylum. Section 208 of the Act says yes, that someone actually participated in persecution on behalf of a particular ground. So the respondent is arguing that basically if there's evidence that someone might have participated in persecution, then they have to prove that they did participate in persecution. And they're saying that because he was a police officer writing reports about people in the early 1990s and even during the time when there was persecution going on, that shows that he's something that he might have participated in persecution. And it would be contrary to the forward evidence that he was participating in persecution. I think that's the wrong standard to apply. I think that's a very harsh standard. And I think that the law specifically says if you're barred from asylum, if you participate in persecution of others. Again, just BIA also did say that the petitioner said he wrote reports about people who were suspected of terrorist activity and all other opponents of the government. That is the words of the petitioner's mouth during the removal hearing when he was testifying. The Council for the Department of Homeland Security processed the petitioner, started interchangeably using the term suspected terrorist in the government and suspected terrorist in the opponent of the government. The petitioner himself never once used the term opponent of the government. He said that he believed to go ahead and rerun on the information about a suspected terrorist that he observed at a little rally. He would run these reports and he didn't. So he used So that's on page 138 of the administrative record. And he was asked, so he was asked to file reports about people who served at meetings or rallies who appear to be instigating terrorism. And he said, yes, he had received information about meetings. So his testimony was consistent. He kept bringing it back to, I was a police officer in 1991 and 1994 in the city of Kujalania, where there were many terrorist acts that committed many bombs and murder, many people that were shot and killed by terrorists. He was trying to find people who were doing this. And that was the focus of his job. There were associations that occurred in the agreement, but nothing in his testimony suggests that he was part of it, that he was persecuting people because of their religion or because of their belief. And I think that he should not be held accountable for bad actors. And he was very clear to what he was doing. He was trying to find multiple homies and his police officer, and he was trying to use monitoring on the community because it was a small office.
Thank you, sir. My name is Michael Primo. On behalf of the Attorney General, Your Honor, this case is about the ultimate burden of proof in the court and the way of the burden. Immigration and naturalization act bars individuals from obtaining certain types of relief that they have been cited or assisted or otherwise participated in persecuting others on their own or different ground.
In response to the police from instance in which a police results in the ultimate persecution of an individual because of the police were unable to confirm that such occurred, is that the best way to make this case?
We don't want to serve in this case. And in that case, occurred when the court remanded it to the agency to decide whether or not we're members in the organization that persecuted others was sufficient. In which case, that's a decision to actually hear on that case. And in this case, the agency did not find this mere membership in a cohort in an organization that persecuted in the persecution.
There was a single instance that anyone was persecuted for political beliefs based on the petitioner's investigation.
He just cited one people that he wrote a report on, but in the beach.
The firefight.
Right. Yeah, the firefight. Which may come comparatively not under that misreport in the China Courts of Police to investigate this person.
Right. He just looked for it to make that it occurred. Would there be evidence in the record demonstrating an openness between the petitioner's investigation of this individual and his group's work at the firefight?
There's no direct information, but I would suggest that the fact that he has zero of the report on this person, and that the person's clearly entangled in a incident with police, is sufficient
security is the evidence might have been enough to suspect somebody was persecuted as a result of work, then that's enough to show coercion.
Yes, under Regulation 1240, CFR Section 1240.8, Section D, the regulations say that if evidence indicates that one or more of your house are regulatory to a family, the application for it is diminished upon the change of the burden of proof by the court or conference of defendants, and such cases do not apply. And here, we're in a situation where our case mirrors the account of other people based upon their political beliefs, based upon their anti-Jordan rhetoric, and actually the knowledge that these are other people that he identified in the report to police one, five, which means 5-7, was actually killed in a trial of the police, subsequent to this crime in this report. That raises a reason for the arrest that the bar may party. This is just being honest about this case of marijuana. This case is again something where the government's very reluctant to do it during the period when the decision was made between prosecution and criminal activities. In my case, this happened so often in some cycle, it would not be so something to show us on the count of the leadership that this was the advantage towards the victim. It's still an agency, and it's a point of working on it, and it's a lot of difficult stuff, so there's a need to be working very hard on it. And that is the case that I'm
going to present. Well,
it's not true. It's a bit of a basis, but I think that you had a strong case here on the side of the claim that you were some others who have, let's say, you came here and told yourself that you didn't bring all my men for any reason. That's all true. It's been a good case for a bunch of people. That he is not a part of the person who are. He wants smart enough information for it to be sold on the record, doesn't give out contrary information to the agency's rules and opinion. You know, I'm not using the person who are for your client's case. It's up to you to show that he doesn't. He ultimately bears the burden of proof to the statute on this case.
That's not about the person who are just described.
I think that my theory of explanation, making that a big speculation in this case, which I think is suspicion of this, and there's not better, can make that inference. On the facts of this case, what the case is that the client's opinion of the case
is required under these circumstances to show proof to the other person. And it seems more obvious that the government is in the form of a criminal case, and it could show that most of those instances where it did show your client's intimacy, therefore it needed a person to be given a case. I just also believe that when the word should be complicated by an issue.
I think there are certain cases that I've read about where it's not being processed in your case. It's the first few instances of the person. So then I've read, I think you get that citation for you, but that's all.
You don't need to force them to serve it.
Yeah. Just as a matter of persuasion, that's pretty. So identified individuals that he believed were posted in the email response that he had to police torture these terms of people. And that were legitimate criminal denunciations. I think the torture of suspects is never forgivable or exculpatory. And he had to police killing these other people that he identified. He played a many of the criteria of assessment, but I'm not going to name any criteria, but there are a variety of cases.
enforcement